Before that, I played some Jenny Omnichord off the album Charlotte and Otis Duet for Kids, Duet for Children, the Parents, and Other People Too. The song I played was called Planet Zorn. And before that, I played Cub, which was not from the album. It's a recording we did back when they played on this program back in 1992, the song they played was called Runaway. It was before my time. I wasn't even at UBC then. October 1st, 1992, live from Thunderbird Radio Hall. They played a bunch of songs, pretty amazing. They were on Mint, one of the first Mint bands out there. Before Cub, I played one of the current Mint bands, Vancouver, Canadian Tuxedo, a song called Vanity, and that album just came out sometime last year. You are listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM. The show is live from Thunderbird Radio Hell, and live in studio with us right now, ready to play, is GR8 2000. GR8 2000 live on CITR. Hello.
Hey there. Whoa, sorry about that.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I feel a lot better now that I got that one out of the way.
Oh, is that, how come?
It's a new one. And I was afraid I wasn't going to pull it off. Had some surprises.
Yeah. Well.
That's yeah. Great. Thanks, Ben, for having me on
to
do
this.
Yeah,
thanks for coming.
Last time I was on here playing with Rollmock, it was really fun, and I'm already having a lot of fun. But yeah.
Can you refresh folks? How long ago were you here with Rollmock? That's like a year ago.
Last summer.
Yeah.
I forget when, but it was right before we left for tour, so it must have been in like July or something. But it was really fun.
Right.
That song was called Stand Up, and this one's called Rap Rat.
Okay. GR8 2000 live on CITR. How's it going? Still going well?
Yeah, it's going pretty good.
Can you quickly, GR8 2000, any reason for that, you know?
Yeah, I needed a name for something to, I started doing music and I started needing a name to put all the stuff under. And a lot of people ask, it's like, were you in grade 8 in the year 2000? And the answer is no.
Oh, right.
No, I wasn't. I'm younger.
Right.
But yeah, it was just like GR8 means great, and 2000 is like futuristic. So
right.
I think that's enough, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's cool.
That's all I can really explain.
Yeah, but okay, 2000 isn't futuristic anymore, though.
It was, and it's sort of nostalgia.
Okay, right.
I don't know.
Like, when did you start it? When did you come up with the name?
Well, after 2000.
Well, after 2000.
Yeah, I think it was 2004 yeah. or 5.
Right.
It was just, I always loved infomercials, always saying, like, right. something 2000. So, right. yeah. Anyway, I'm going to do another song.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Grade 8. Oh, sorry, grade. Yeah, GR8 2000.
Thank you.
GR8 2000 live hey. On CITR. So, let's talk a bit about your setup. What's going
All right.
on here?
I use a computer.
Yeah, a computer. It's not a Mac, I noticed that. Did people comment on that?
I didn't cover the Apple with some trendy skateboarding sticker either.
Yeah. And, well, at least you didn't put an Apple sticker on your you know, PC as well. That's embarrassing.
Just,
but anyways.
Yeah, just to trick people, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I use this piece of software called Ableton Live, and it's usually meant for DJing or really basic. I think it was just meant for house music. I don't know what it's really
what does
supposed
it
do? To
do. Like what?
You can load in a bunch of things that are supposed to emulate synthesizers or drum machines or even samplers, and so you can take a bunch of sounds and make them into a drum beat.
Oh, okay.
You can remix your friends or something like that. But yeah, I basically use it because I really got into like minimal synthesizer stuff, like especially Suicide, Kraftwerk, stuff like that. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Right. But like, I really got into that stuff, and I wanted to do a setup, but I wasn't really sure if any of my other friends wanted to do it or they weren't sure if they could play a certain instrument, so I decided to just do it all myself.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I added in the this like kind of cheap loop pedal. I got it for like $30. It's like this Behringer thing. And it's supposed to be meant for, I guess, guitars, but I just plugged this little microphone that I found into it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, that's how cool. I make my music.
Yeah, and how did you choose that program? Is it just you stumbled upon it? Or
originally I had been making all my electronic stuff in GarageBand, mm-hmm. and I got to say, GarageBand is actually a really good program. I did my first album on it, and it's fantastic. So, I mean, I encourage anyone like making or attempting on making electronic music, use GarageBand first, and then work your way up to like if you want to use Logic or Ableton. I think Ableton's sort of a step in between like something really big like Cubase or Logic, mm-hmm. and like the really simple like Fruity Loops and like GarageBand stuff.
And how much time would you spend on like each song, for example?
It depends. I mean, like sometimes if I used to have really, really good productive nights where I'd hammer out like one song but I'd like perfect it completely, mm-hmm. and then I'd be like, that's ready. But I have a lot of songs that I've just like sort of worked like a couple hours on and be like, I don't really like where this is going, and I haven't really developed them. But this is actually an example of one, this next one.
Okay. Awesome. Actually, one more question is,
yeah.
So once you perfected it, is it something that you even go, because it's on a computer, right? So in theory, it makes it seems like it's so much easier to just edit it. It's like comparing a typewriter to a computer, where if you type something out, you probably don't want to change it anymore, but it's on a computer, you can always mess with it a bit more.
The cool thing about recording with like electronically and with MIDI is that if I have to transpose something to a completely different key, it's a lot more different than if I recorded something on like a 4-track or on tape, or even like a digital audio signal like from a mixer. Like I can just take the song completely apart and rearrange it, mm-hmm. and change all the notes, and so that's really fun. It's the versatility and like because I'm sort of spontaneous in my setup, and sometimes I like to try new stuff.
So do you find yourself doing that once in a while? Just do
and a lot of the times like I've stuck with the choices. Sometimes I've messed it up really badly and the song ends up sucking in the end. Yeah. But I mean, like,
but you can always press like undo maybe.
Yeah, just I'll undo the entire set. Yeah. And no, that's the great thing about having this new instrument.
Yeah, awesome. GR8 2000 live on CITR, and you got more for us.
Yeah.
I'm fighting!
GR8 2000 live on CITR.
Yep.
So, you played a show at the Cobalt just pretty recently.
Yeah, it was for...
Was it for Fake Jazz? Or was it no?
No, was it was sort of a last-minute show organized for my friend Doug, who has been had been visiting with me for the past week, and he is from Los Angeles. He plays this one-man electronic punk thing called Birth.
Oh, right.
And it's really interesting.
And what does he use? Like
he just uses... his setup is actually more minimal than mine. His is just a like this Boss loop station pedal with all these instrumentals in it. And then he just has a mic. Usually it's like the house PA mic. And he just like runs around screaming into the mic.
Right.
And eventually taking off his shirt and smearing his body in fake blood and body paint.
Oh, right.
And the last time he came, he played at Pub 340, and Dandy Wind like came out of nowhere and just started like fighting him, and like there was just a lot of crazy moshing. So yeah, that was sort of a benefit show for him because he needed money to get back to LA on an Amtrak train. So,
oh, right.
Yeah.
So wait, let's go back to the Dandy Wind fighting him.
Oh, I mean, it was totally friendly. Oh,
okay.
You know those punk kids.
Okay. Those punk
kids. No idea. No, they were just having a good time.
Okay, good. Like
responsible adults.
Oh, that sounds funny.
Yeah.
How did you know him?
Well, that's the thing. I saw him at Pub 340 last year, and he said, like, yeah, I'm going to come back here and play a show, and then he did on March 1st at Vivo.
Right.
With a couple other really cool local performers. And yeah, and then he played this benefit show at the Cobalt, and so I just played a set, and Nihilist Party played, and Stamina Mantis played as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So what kind of music do you find yourself like being drawn to that? Is it something sort of more like your style? Like person thing?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think of genres in terms of members in the band, but it's very loud. It's meant to be played so that it like everything's clipping and people's stereos are breaking. Like that's the capacity in which to see and play. But it's like sort of like the Screamers or like I guess the Screamers or maybe the Units to a lesser extent, like the classic synth punk bands.
I mean, did you always like this kind of music? Did you at one point you saw something, you saw a band, and suddenly that kind of changed you? Or
a lot of that was due to, I guess, Vancouver scene, because I grew up in Richmond.
Right.
And it was more so seeing, not necessarily something specific like electronic music plus rock music equals new ideas, but it was like just seeing people being inventive in so many different ways.
Right.
But, I mean, like, Twin Crystals, definitely awesome influence. That's a live, local influence. Suicide.
Right.
And Screamers.
How did you even get out from Richmond to here?
You take the 98 D line, and it takes about an hour, and then from, there was no bus directly to my house.
Right.
So I had to chain up my bike at Richmond Center, where the Beeline stops in Richmond, and then I had to bike like 3 miles home.
I only asked because I was grade 11, grade 12 in Richmond too. What school did you go to?
McNair.
Oh, okay.
What, the bad school?
No, we just make, I don't know.
Rough Riders.
I went to Steveston, but anyways.
Oh, yeah. Other side of town.
Other side of town, yeah. The good side. No, anyways. Awesome.
Cool.
GR8 2000 live on CITR. More sounds for everyone to enjoy. We'll be right back. GR8 2000. Are you all right? Looks like you had a pretty intense on your live show. So let's talk a bit about your show.
Fine.
Your live shows. You like to get the crowd going a little bit as well?
Yeah. I think it was like, I don't know, like I guess about a year, maybe 2 years ago, like I saw like a lot of people either, and it was either they're playing really good music and I was like, no one's dancing, come on, this is so much fun, or it was like a really bad band,
right?
And like everyone was dancing. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the polar opposite. I mean, like, bad and good are totally like objective.
Right.
You can say something's bad or good or whatever, but I mean, it was just, that was my opinion at the time. And I was sort of irked at that. So I wanted to, the original idea was just to start making music specifically designed to make me dance. And then hopefully,
right,
once the music starts playing, I'll start dancing and then maybe other people will join in.
Right.
But yeah, that was basically how that started.
Okay. What would you rather then? How would you rate a good show for yourself? Where a show that, let's say a show you kind of mess up the computer, maybe crash or you're...
I opened Photoshop one time.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, something just badly happened, but everybody seemed to still dance to it.
I would get such a kick out of it.
Yeah, so that's good. Or versus a show where, you know, you play perfectly, you know, nothing was wrong, like everything was fantastic, and somehow, you know, you came up with a song that you haven't played before, somehow it worked perfectly, but nobody danced.
I don't know. Like, the thing is, I think I've only had no one dance, like, once or twice, so maybe I'm setting myself up for a big failure there, but I mean, like, the only show that I don't think anyone was, well, like, one person was dancing at was, it was some show that I was playing with a bunch of glam rock bands.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like there was one, like,
how did you get on that bill? Like,
I don't know how the hell that happened. Someone messaged me via MySpace and they're like, hey, you're the cool new hip indie spirit music we want to and I was like, this was like, I don't know, around when I like was doing like 2 months in, and then they're like, play the show, and I'm like, yeah, I think I will, and I get there and like no one's there.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, you guys didn't promote this a lot, eh? And then they were supposed to, they had this weird system at the door where they charged $10, and then for every person, like, they ask who someone's there to see, for every person who says your name, you get $2.
Yeah.
So two people came to see me, and so I ended up like they owed me $4 and they skipped.
Oh, right.
They just left and didn't pay me my $4.
Right.
I was pretty pissed about that. That was not fun. But Hoko lent me $4. It was at Hoko's as well.
Huh.
But
and they set it up so like, no, but who? But it's the person who set it up. I mean,
I don't want to get into that. I mean, they're probably respectable. They got lives.
Yeah.
That this is just. It's not like my word can slander them or anything.
For sure. But do you find yourself just accepting a lot of shows just because you don't have, you know, you're not lugging drums anywhere?
Oh, yeah. I think it's really great that I can put everything on a
bike. Came in a backpack, basically.
Yeah, and that's sort of a cool idea. It's not just like this idealism, like this idea that you can be a musician, like just a one-man band. Like, it's actually like an example of it.
Yeah. So, do you sometimes just show up at shows or parties with your gear?
I think I've done that like once or twice, and I've ended up, I think one time it went okay, and the other time everyone got really mad.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone wanted to hear, like, remixes or something all night or some blog thing. So I was like, see you later, guys.
Oh. GR8 2000 live on CITR. You got more for us.
Yep. We'll be right back.
GR8-2000. I see in your website that this is kind of fun. You have a single on a diskette.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it's sort of a kind of cute little thing, but that's kind of funny. Nobody ever did it, but it's fun. It's basically just an MP3 on a diskette, right?
Yeah, that's basically the idea of it. It's I only made 10 of them for my personal, like, smaller label called VidKid. And, I just thought I'd put it out.
I don't know. That's kind of cool because a diskette fits, like one meg or something on it.
Yeah.
How long a song can you fit on it?
Well, technically, it's... Oh, geez. I don't know. There's probably some, algorithm as to how much you can fit. But, that's a really compressed MP3 that's on that.
All right.
So, it's... Yeah, it sort of sounds like crap if you're listening through, little tiny headphones.
Yeah. Right.
But if you put it onto, I don't know, if you get the... Okay, get the MP3 file, right. Burn it onto a CD, and then put that CD in a CD player connected to a really good sound system.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of work, but it'll sound pretty good if you turn it up.
So. I would want people to just play it off the floppy drive.
It'll play it. Go to your old, your mom's computer in, the basement and plug it in and, wait for all the games to load and stuff.
I just thought it was a really cute idea.
Thanks. Yeah,
it's fun. I mean, it's like everybody used to have one of those. I guess no computer has them now.
Yeah, you can get them as a USB thing, but I actually did it at my work. Because the computers were, there's some old computers there, and so I just loaded in the diskettes and quickly did it.
And that song is only available on the diskette?
No. Oh. Unfortunately not. I did it as... Oh, it's only available on the... In the really small MP3 file format.
Yeah.
I'm working on this a 12-inch right now, a one-sided 12-inch with the same record company that put out a reissue of my first album, Freedom. And it's going to be called Red Weekend Bop. And it's this hopefully red vinyl 12-inch that's going to have that song and a lot of other of the songs I played here tonight on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. GR8 2000...
Yep, this is my last one.
This is your last song. We'll come back and finish talking.
Cool.
What am I gonna say? What Oh!
GR8 2000. Thanks for coming out.
No problem. My pleasure.
Yeah, let's get a couple things together. What's the website?
Oh, yeah, I have a MySpace. Yeah. It's myspace.com/ GR number 8, then the numbers 2000, or the number 2000.
Right.
Yeah, and my record label that I'm on currently is Tweedeath Death Records. You can go to it at tweedeath.com.
Tweedeath.com, yeah.
Yeah.
And you have other things that you sort of involve in? Like, tell me about, like, Orlando Magic and Haunted Beard? Or?
Yeah, basically, Orlando Magic was a group that I'm in with my friend Chris, who used to play in Cheerleader Camp and Him for Her, and my friend Cam, who used to play in Cheerleader Camp and now plays in Golden Touch. And I think another thing, too, Marcus Naslund, I think, which is an odd name for a group. But anyway, we sort of...
I thought it was in the band. Wait a minute.
Yeah. We sort of came together because we really all enjoyed, like DNA and Glenn Branca. Those were the main things, but it was just like we wanted to make sort of really loud trash can rock or punk or something. So and then we currently have a new member named Rob who's singing with us. But yeah, it's really fun. And then Haunted Beard is a group where I collaborate with my friend Ben Jocks, and he plays like this like groove box drum machine thing and like a micro Korg and a sampler, and then I play this like Yamaha guitar that's like red and like really small. But yeah, I'm just starting out with that one. That one's probably the newest.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But yeah, we're playing we're playing coming up next.
This is Haunted Beard?
Yeah, Haunted Beard. I'm just looking on my calendar right now. We are playing at Vivo as part of an event called Vision Quest, and it has a lot of video from some local artists, some from other parts of Canada, and Haunted Beard is doing some auditory accompaniment to the visuals. So that's on March 18th at Vivo.
Vivo, yeah, as it's on now called. Main and like 6th, 3rd?
No, like, well, it's not Main. Yeah, 3rd. Yeah, third. Yeah, you got third. It.
Yeah, cross from, anyway. People can find out. Yeah. And you have shows coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
March 19th.
March Honey 19th Lounge. At Honey, yeah.
At Honey.
With N213.
A lot of number bands.
N213, MT40, and Candles. Totally breaking the number trend.
I know.
But whatever.
Maybe Candles with... I don't know, an A and I don't know.
Candles with 2+3 or something cool.
Well, maybe,
yeah.
It's multiple candles. So yeah. Maybe they could change the name to like 100 candles or something like that. Yeah. And then March 29th at Chris's house. At Chris Rick's house.
Yeah.
Let me see what. That just. It's something you just.
Oh, it's with Anna and. Jeez, I think Kidnap Kids are playing too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a part of a celebration for my friend Jarrett, who plays in Romok with me. He plays bass, and so he's a very cherished individual of mine. So we're all playing special birthday songs for him. It's going to be pretty good.
Oh, is it his birthday?
Yeah, it's sort of like a birthday show for
him. That's kind of cool.
But I mean, anyone's welcome as long as Chris is cool with them.
I don't know. A lot of places are getting shut down. We were just talking last week.
I don't really think... If Chris's shed gets shut down, I'll lose all faith. I'll close up shop. I'll move to Oslo, okay?
Yeah.
Because, come on, that guy's so nice.
Right.
You don't think that, like, the cops come knocking. Yeah. Yeah.
Just turn down the speaker a little bit more.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming out.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, Evan and Irene, for sound and everything.
Yeah.
And more show coming up on CITR. I'm going to pop in some old Thunderbird Radio Hell until 11 o'clock.
We're gays.